Welcome to the podcast, Claim Your Excellent Life, with your host, Suzanne Kellner-Zink, where she helps professional women learn how to be happy. Suzanne will teach you how to do this through building high self-esteem, relaxation and calm, and good, healthy relationships. Tune in every week as Suzanne shares effective strategies to help you claim your excellent life with happiness techniques, self-esteem building exercises, relationship tips, and relaxation information. Make sure to head over to dawningvisions.com to subscribe to the newsletter to receive your keys to happiness, as well as other useful free gifts for you.
In this episode of Claim Your Excellent Life, we are going to speak about, do you know what love is? Because I have some interesting studies that tell you exactly what love is. Did you know that falling in love takes 1/5 of a second? Because that's how long it takes for the euphoria-inducing chemicals to start acting on the brain when you're looking at that special someone. You know those feelings you feel? Brain imaging studies of love suggest that there's 12 different areas of the brain that are involved when looking or thinking about a loved one. A bunch of neurotransmitters are released across the brain, including oxytocin, a bonding neurotransmitter, dopamine, pleasure, vasopressin, and adrenaline. The brain gets a similar hit from love as it does from a small dose of cocaine. So you have been informed. The brain map. The neural differences between love and sexual desires find remarkable overlaps, yet there's distinct differences. The regions that are activated were involved in emotion, motivation, and higher-level thoughts. This means that sexual desire is a bit more than just a basic emotion, but involves goal-directed motivation and the need of more advanced thoughts. The difference between sexual desire and that of love happens to do with a balance between higher and lower level functionings of the brain. And that's right. The sexual desire is in the lower functioning of the brain. Love is in the higher. Did you know that kissing helps us to choose our partners? In fact, for some people, it's an important way of testing out a new mate. You may not believe this, but when I was more involved in the dating scene, I actually had a guy tell me that he wanted to kiss me first to see if I was worth his dating. Yes, he did. He didn't state it that way, but he did have his kiss test, and no, I didn't do it. Interestingly enough, there wasn't a link that was seen between more sex and improved relationship satisfaction. Go figure. I have several men who might feel differently about that, and women as well, who don't feel like they're getting enough lovemaking, but according to this study, that link wasn't there. Did you know that after 25 years of being together, couples look more similar? That was based on independent observers, by the way. It may be because of similarities in diet, environment, personality, or even a result of empathizing with your partner over the years. I'm not telling you this. A study is saying this. Now, this is a surprise to me because I don't know too many long-distance relationships that work. However, the studies say that long-distance relationships can indeed work. Based on each partner of the couple telling each other more intimate information, and because they spend so much time apart, they have a more idealized view of their partner. Based on that, long-distance relationships often have similar levels of relationship satisfaction and stability as those who are geographically close to each other. I was just in a seminar with Jerry Robert, who sells book publishing services. And he travels a whole lot. And he swears that his 30-plus year marriage works so well because, well, although his wife goes with him to a lot of the places he travels to, she doesn't go with him everywhere, and the heart does grow fonder. John Gray also said that because of his seminar schedule, he believes it helps his relationship to be a lot stronger too, because they really do enjoy each other when they're with one another. So there you go. Four things that will kill a relationship. Professor John Gottman has been analyzing the psychology of love for over 40 years. And here are the things that will kill your relationship. So if you want your relationship to last, I strongly suggest that you let this stuff out of your life. Repeated criticism. Nobody enjoys it, so let that one go. Expressions of contempt, like in sarcasm. But if you're using your partner as the butt of the joke, it's not funny, and it can be very hurtful. Being defensive and stonewalling. When you see this happening, you will not be too shocked when the communication shuts down. Modern marriages demand self-fulfillment. Previously, in relationships, marriage, safety and solidity were what were important. Now people want psychological fulfillment for their marriages. They expect marriage to be more of a journey towards self-fulfillment and self-actualization. Unfortunately, given these particular demands, it seems that a lot of couples are not investing enough time and effort to achieve this type of growth. If you don't have enough time to invest in your relationship and your marriage, then adjust your expectations accordingly to minimize disappointment on both sides. How about watching movies about relationships and discussing them afterwards? A 3-year study finds that this more than halved the number of divorces. Because spouses really do know what they may be doing right and wrong in their relationships. They don't need to be taught what the problem is. More importantly, they need to think about what behaviors they may have that are creating the problems and adjust their behavior accordingly. Apparently, movies can help this significantly. Even after divorces, relationships don't necessarily have to end. Especially if they're children. There are those where the father disappears. There are those where the parents continue to be best friends. There's relationships where the couples will move on but remain on good footing with each other. There's one where the fighting continues after the divorce. And there's one where, unfortunately, the children become pawns in the fight. Couples can choose to remain friends. The most important part is to realize that all relationships take two partners to work together to make it whole. So if the relationship had an issue, it's best for each to take the responsibility for their part in it, do some forgiveness work, and move on. Finally, given the fact that we're encouraged to think that love can be bought and sold, remember that it's the small things that can make a difference. You don't need to buy big gifts or go on fancy vacations. Simple acts of kindness are often appreciated the most. Bringing your partner a cup of tea or coffee in bed is a really big one. My ex used to do that for me every morning, and it was wonderful. Letting them know they look good in their clothes or even unclothed for many women makes them feel a whole lot better, and will do more for your relationship than a box of chocolates or a bunch of flowers, according to the studies. The most important thing is the last. Never take your relationship for granted. Every person has their ups and downs in life. Everyone has their things that they need to do to improve their lives as they move forward. And relationship is really about mutually supporting one another and where you're going and having common values and beliefs, things that you care about within the relationship. And sharing interests is certainly helpful. Because without that, what are you guys going to do with one another? So keep these things in the back of your mind, especially if you're looking into getting into a new relationship. And if you're in a relationship already, well, take another look at your partner and notice the reasons why you fell in love in the first place and play up those aspects of your life together. Because this is the deal. As we get older, we do change in our looks. The personality, though, is going to become more of what it was. So choose wisely and have a good time. The studies that I commented on were found in Psych Blog, February 14th, 2016, for your reference. For any healthcare practitioners out there, allopathic and holistic, please sign up on the Dawning Visions Hypnosis website. To receive our weblog, I will be putting information up there as information comes in, as we are moving forward on this project. It's taking a bit longer than I want it. However, I'm still working on getting this together. Go to DAWNING, V as in Victor, ISIONS.com. Opt in, and you will be set to get that information. Thank you, as always, for spending your time with me. Till next time. If you have found the information that we have shared with you here on Claim Your Excellent Life to be helpful and interesting, please do us a favor of giving us a rating on iTunes. We hope it will be 5 stars, as well as a review. Doing both these acts will move the podcast up in the ratings on iTunes so more people will be able to find us. Also, please do us the favor of letting your friends and colleagues know about this podcast so they too can gain the knowledge that we're sharing here. We'd like as many people as possible to learn from what we have to give here. And we thank you for your time and effort in doing so.
Thank you for listening to the podcast, Claim Your Excellent Life, with your host, Suzanne Kellner-Zink, where she helps professional women learn how to be happy. Suzanne teaches you how to do this through building high self-esteem, relaxation and calm, and good, healthy relationships. Tune in every week as Suzanne shares effective strategies to help you claim your excellent life with happiness techniques, self-esteem building exercises, relationship tips, and relaxation information. Make sure to head over to dawningvisions.com to subscribe to the newsletter to receive your keys to happiness, as well as other useful free gifts for you.